Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
And welcome to NFL Combine Week. We aren't in Indianapolis, but a lot of NFL executives, agents, coaches, players, people with agendas are flying into Indianapolis.
Fans autograph seekers,
fans, media. It's the center of the NFL universe this week, where NFL luminaries, general managers, agents, cheers, old fashions, and cocktails at, is it, what's that one bar? Is it Elmo's?
St. Elmo's Steakhouse. Greatest shrimp cocktail in the country, I think you could argue.
I've never had it, but that's what people say.
It's incredibly expensive. I looked it up last night. You can actually order them now and have them shipped to your house.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yep. I looked up their site last night just to look.
For old time's sake. Things.
I was writing something and I was going and I want to make sure that I had the spelling right of the bar, because I said that it's a place where deals have been made before. Yeah. But I found out that you can order the shrimp cocktail.
What makes it such a great shrimp cocktail? Compared to just like your average shrimp cocktail.
Well, first of all, it's enormous. Second of all, it is spicy as hell. So if you don't like spicy, but
the sauce is spicy.
Yeah, the cocktail sauce. But I think it's some type of special sauce. And I don't know if there's like a ingredient secret or not, but it is
between the shrimp on like HGH or something.
Between that and the steak, it is great. It's so popular that at least the last time I covered the combine, St. Elmo had a satellite restaurant like right by it, a smaller one that I think was a little less expensive. So it's like, if you can't really afford St. Elmo, we got something else for you.
If you're like on your last contract, or maybe you're Adrian Peterson and you've bought too many camels for your birthday parties.
Yep.
You did something less expensive.
Cool. Here's something for you.
So it's a place where NFL front offices and agents drink cocktails late into the night and totally don't tamper. But that's what's going to happen this week. You're going to have news come out. You might even have like a list of Kirk Cousins teams at some point. So we've got you covered on Purple Daily. Today, I think we're going to give you three episodes, because we've got Purple Daily on Draft coming out later on today. We're going to give you two episodes of the main cast of characters here, starting with this one. We'll do a Kirk Watch episode, but this is going to be Offseason Blueprint episode 4.0, gentlemen. We've taken three stabs where we just devote the entire show to internal roster decisions, external free agents, in a mock draft simulation to try and fix the Vikings for 2024 and beyond. And this one's going to be really interesting because we now know what the NFL salary cap figure for 2024 is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's going to be $30 million higher than last year's. It's the biggest jump in the history of the NFL. Last year's cap was $225 million. This year's cap, $255 million. So before we get in, and I have a premise, a Kirk-related premise I'd love to start the, you know, just the festivities with. But before we get there, Judd, you've been covering the NFL for 2 decades. What does this jump in cap mean? Because a lot of Vikings fans are celebrating, oh, this is great. Now, we specifically have money to bring back Daniil and Kirk. But really, isn't it just NFL inflation? Everything, everyone has more space. Everything gets more expensive now, right?
Yes. And all, so there's a few things here. First of all, this is not the highest percentage jump. It's jumped higher percentage-wise. This is the most cash.
Cash jump. Okay.
The projected PF or the projected cap originally by over the cap for 2024 was $240 million.
Wow.
That was the projection. It's up $30 million more per team from 2023. So it's an incredible jump.
Mm.
So keep that in mind. But the things to keep in mind before you take a victory lap are multiple. One is, it's my opinion that this does more for Justin Jefferson's contract situation than it does for immediate free agents. Because now you're looking at projections that have gone up. And so I think what it does is it certainly emboldens Jefferson to ask for more now and probably get it. Good news for him. Free agency wise, yes, if you want to bring Kirk and Daniil back, you definitely have more space to do so. But, and this is, I think I pointed this out on Twitter a couple of times, before you take a victory lap on retaining your own players, the Vikings didn't just get good news on Friday. 31 other teams did as well.
Yeah.
So if you were going to pursue Kirk Cousins and you're the, I don't know, take your pick, the Falcons, or you are the, let's say, Broncos, whose name from a very credible source came out on Friday, you now have way more. So
49ers,
if you, yeah, exactly. So if you were going to pursue Kirk, you now are like, oh, hold on a second. So this does not mean that you're going to bring everyone back. What it does mean is that the price of poker for everyone just went up. But I actually think if you're the Vikings and you are projecting ahead, this is better news to retain a guy like Jefferson and eventually Darisaw than this is now to spend like a drunken sailor on guys, which, by the way, still will catch up with you if you do it. Not saying that you can't. Like if Christian Wilkins does not get franchised by the Dolphins, the Vikings might say, okay, we have a little extra to play with.
Yeah.
But I think that there was this perception on Friday that every team is going to spend like, oh my God, there's no salary cap. That's not really how this works.
Yeah, there's probably some teams, like I saw something on the Giants where this now gives them the ability to not have to restructure Daniel Jones' contract, so they can just be done with it after 2024.
Yep.
So there's some teams that this impacts directly. The Vikings, it remains to be seen. Does it give them more room to bring back Cousins and Hunter and sign Jefferson? Because now the cap's going to be even higher next year and then the year after, right? Of course it does. But it also gives the Falcons now an extra $10 to $15 million in cap space. It gives, I'm just looking at teams that might be interested. I mean, the Commanders are a team that on like the DraftKings odds to get Kirk Cousins are one of the top three or four teams. They've got $70 million in effective cap space now.
Yep.
The Raiders now have $10 million. Well, they did before, but they still have $10 million more than the Vikings. They have $40 million in effective cap space. So just something to keep in mind. I think we should start today's 4.0 roster blueprint episode with the premise that the Vikings do bring Kirk Cousins back, because I think we've done a couple where he's gone. I think we did one where he's back. Mm. And I'll tell you, I used the updated PFF figures to sort of construct this. But then you texted us like 10 minutes before the show and there's a Bill Barnwell figure. So we got to figure out what to do as the Purple Daily front office. So PFF has Kirk signing for 2 years, $70 million with $50 million guaranteed. And we can get into kind of what that looks like. So $35 million a year average over the 2 years. Well, Bill Barnwell, who's the analytics guru for ESPN.com, he just posted a piece this morning projecting $51 million a year for Kirk. So if it's a two-year deal, do you guys think it's closer to 2 years, 100? Or do you think it's closer to 2 years, 70? Before we even, because we got to know that before we can start to build out the rest of this thing, right?
Well, should we just, should we split the hairs and just go right down the middle of the two projected figures?
Wow. At that point, I'm out. Like, I'm out on all this, but this is where it gets crazy.
I do think the cap going up is going to, again, provide teams that might be intent on pursuing Kirk the room to go up far more than we probably thought would be possible on Thursday.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I don't think the Vikings are going to now retain all of their guys. You know, oh, we can bring back everyone and run it back. I don't think that's how it works. But, I mean, Declan's probably right. It's probably something close to splitting what the PFF was off of what was the assumed salary cap figure and what it's going to be now. He's probably right about it being.
But that could also be like, that could be a fake figure contract too. Oh, it's 2 years, 100, or it's 3 years, 100. Well, I guess in this case, it'd be 2 years, 100 because he's talking $50 million a year.
Yep.
But what's the guarantee? PFF has a guarantee of $50 million, which that's enough for like a signing bonus in the first full year, maybe part of the second.
Well, I think now with this, you'll probably be looking at something more like 60 at least.
What do you mean?
60 guaranteed. I think the guarantee now would probably jump to 60 from, because I mean it takes one team to be like, screw it, we'll sign Kirk Cousins. So he'll probably get what he wants somewhere.
So could we say then, I've got the PFF cap calculator open right now.
Yep.
The original way that I did this was 2 years, $70 million per PFF. Signing, so his previous signing bonus on the two-year deal he did a couple years ago was, I think it was $30 million. Then he did a $25 million signing bonus. He likes a big chunk up front.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
I think we're talking, so if we, let's say it's 2 years and it's like $80 million with $60 million guaranteed. Let's plug this in.
That's probably, mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably, so Phil, that's probably the lowest amount.
That's wild.
That he's going to accept, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Like I don't see him taking less than $40 million per season.
So could we do, now here's the other thing too. You could do all the guaranteed money in the first year. You could do like this is getting way in the weeds, but the goal for the Vikings want flexibility after 2024, right? Mm-hmm. And Kirk wants stability. So if they don't meet in the middle on that somewhere, then there's no amount of money like,
right,
unless the offers just aren't there for him. But if you did like a $40 million signing bonus and you did like a, I'm just making this up here, like a $12 million base this year, that gets you to 52. So we need like another $28 million for 2025. And what did we say? $60 million guaranteed. So 8 of the 28 would be guaranteed. So it'd be a partially guaranteed second year.
Sure.
I'll spit out the figures here for you guys. So here's what it would be. It'd be 2 years, 80. 40 of the 80 is a signing bonus. And the reason that's important here, and we're not like the Rob Brzezinski's here, but we try to at least know something about the cap so we can explain on the show. Kirk has 4 years of contract structure with the void years that they tacked on, right? So if you did this deal, you would do it before that void date hits so that you could keep that structure. Because you can do a signing bonus that he gets right now, but that you get to prorate throughout the duration of the 4 years of structure. So if you did that's why it's going to be a big signing bonus if the Vikings bring him back, because they don't want all that money to land on 2024, and now they can't go get like an edge rusher or whatever. So if it's a two-year, $80 million deal, $40 million signing bonus, $12 million base for this year. So he essentially gets $52 million in 2024, mm-hmm. and then the remaining to get to the 80 would be a $28 million base in 2025, partially guaranteed, like an $8 million guaranteed. His cap number would go up from 28 to 32 this year. You could also like bump the signing bonus if you wanted to even higher than 40 and bring the cap number down. But then his cap number for 2025 would be $48 million. Plus you'd have $28 million left over in dead void money after this contract ends. Sound familiar?
Hey, but
and he would be 38 years old.
The cap's sky high now. I mean, come on, just throw your money around, dude. What are you waiting for?
So why don't we do this? I'm actually going to add more to the signing bonus. I'm going to give him a $44 million signing bonus just so we can have less guarantees. Because we don't want guarantees after 2024, really, right? So, and we'll bring that down to $24 million. All right. And that would bring his cap number down a little bit, too. So,
okay.
By the way, Kirk Cousins literally just tweeted a video of him throwing footballs at, like, a tennis court. I'm going to pop it on the screen here.
On day one of Combine Week. Let's go.
Oh, God, this is... Oh, what a coincidence. What a coincidence. I wonder when Mike McCartney told him to do that.
Oh, man.
Hey, Kirk, tomorrow morning, go out and throw a football. I don't care where it is. And get it up. Oh, all right, so Dex is going to show this?
Oh, yeah, give me like 60 seconds, and this will be on the screen.
Of course.
Okay, well, sure. While Dex gets that video ready, Judd, tell the audience about Quick Trip real quick before we finalize this Kirk Cousins contract.
Absolutely, Will. Quick Trip is your one-stop shopping for delicious meals, and I'm not talking like snacks. I'm talking breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You can get what you want at Quick Trip, and here's the best part. I said one-stop shopping because you also can stop. You know, look, let's say you're driving home tonight. It's a Monday. You're like, I'm not going out. I need to get something to eat, but I also need gasoline because I'm like Phil Mackey and my gauge is on E and I've really ridden this car way too far.
I
need
that too.
To fill up. You guys are idiots.
Oh, welcome to the dark side.
Yeah, you guys are idiots. I can't believe that you do that. But anyway, I suggest you fill up at Quick Trip, put plenty of gas in your car. And here's the best part. That gas comes with a quality gas guarantee. That means every drop of gasoline that goes in your car that fills that sucker up to full is going to be guaranteed. Quick Trip's got you covered in so many different ways. So check them out. And as always, appreciate them being the presenting sponsor of Purple Daily. That is Quick Trip.
All right. So this is just a quick 6-second video. He's on like some tennis court. We'll play it here for the YouTube audience.
Look at him plant.
Planting it. Doesn't there's another Instagram video.
Is it like
from
a lifetime?
Weekend.
He's like a lifetime.
Can you
fitness?
Show that one more time?
Yeah.
I don't love how he's moving yet.
Well, of course. He just had, Achilles
surgery.
I don't love
ago.
Okay, knock off $10 million and take away a little bit of the signing bonus.
Sorry, Kirk. That video damaged your
contract. This is a project now, Phil.
He also had the video on Instagram over the weekend of him like playing with his kids and he verbally says, please don't step on my Achilles.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He's on the floor imagine? Like a good dad on all four so his kids can like crawl on his back and he goes, don't step on my Achilles.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad. Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Wow. So Kirk's out there. First day of the combine. News cycle is refreshing again. Put that video out.
Did step on it and he suffered a setback. Yeah. How would you explain that?
Maybe you should have been working on Tuesday and not playing with the kids, huh?
Wow.
Just kidding. All right. Kind of. Okay. So we're going to start the exercise with 2 years, $80 million. It's going to be $40 million signing bonus. It's going to be $60 million in total guarantees.
Okay.
If you did this contract, the next question is, okay, how flexible is it to get out from under it if it's not something you want to pursue in 2025? So according to Over the Cap, if you did the contract this way, it looks like you'd be able to actually sit, you'd be on the hook for like, I don't know, $20 million in dead cap for 2000. You'd be able to get out from under it to some extent, but you'd be eating some residue accounting wise in 2025-26. All right. Okay. But doing the contract this way would bump his cap hit by $2 million in 2024 from like 28 million to 30 and a half. So Kirk Cousins is back. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at the rest of the roster here. And we've done this exercise three other times. Do you guys want to change any of this framework from previously? Jefferson extension, and we think we can bring the cap number down for this year by like $8 million because you're going to do a big signing bonus and all that stuff.
Good.
We're all still, if we're bringing Kirk back, we got to bring Justin back, right? I guess.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't know that paying Kirk $40 or $50 million a year and Jefferson $35 million, I don't know if that's going to get you a Super Bowl, but we're bringing him back.
Yep.
We're still cutting Harrison Smith for $11.5 million in savings. Anyone want to argue that one?
No.
No, I think no. No, despite the fact the cap went up, no, I still think it's a sound football move.
Okay. And then we're cutting Dean Lowry and Patrick Jones the second, which saves us another $3.5 million. But we're keeping Harrison Phillips, Byron Murphy Jr. These were some guys we talked about the first time we did this exercise of you could cut some of these guys, but like,
well, here's a question. Do we, since the cap is up by a lot, do we, this is very, very small, but do we still want to cut Patrick Jones Jr.? Because I was doing that before. I suggested that before, at least personally, as an accounting thing to just free up some space. I do think that there's a chance. I do think that there's a chance that you would actually keep a guy based on position here, just because of your dearth of guys that can rush the quarterback.
So, well, okay, and he's like $1.5 million.
Yeah,
so,
it's not much.
So we would cut then Dean Lowry, yes, and we would get to like a 2.2 number there. Just carry the four. This gets us to 52 plus the Kirk gets us 49. So here's where we're at. Kirk is back on a big 2-year contract, Jefferson extension, Harrison Smith cut, Dean Lowry cut, keeping Harrison Phillips, Byron Murphy Jr. could have saved us like 4.5, but we need a cornerback.
Agreed.
Garrett Bradbury could save us like 2.5, but then we'd need a starting center. Yep. So is it worth it? Nick Mullins is kind of, we could decide to get a different backup if we wanted to. He's pretty cheap. So we're keeping those guys. So with all of that, we now have $49 million in projected cap space going into free agency.
Okay.
Okay? The first guy we have to talk about. Hey, all right, hey, Kirk's done. Hey, Daniil, I know we haven't talked to you in like 2 months.
Yeah,
we've been singularly focused on Kirk.
Yep.
Daniil, it's Kwesi. Remember me?
Yeah.
It's Kwesi and Kevin.
He's like, Ryan Poles, is that you? Have you
Jaguars,
been talking to the Bears? Have
Jaguars
you been
cheating? GM? Is this you?
Have you been cheating on us?
So, Danielle Hunter.
Yep.
The PFF projection is 3 years, $65 million, $21 million a year. That was, I think, the projection before the cap went up.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, and you guys fight me on this, he's 29 years old. Yep. In terms of external free agents, there's a bunch of other guys out there, edge rushers, interior guys, maybe aren't as good as Danielle at his peak. But Bryce Huff is 3 years younger. Jonathan Greenard is 2 years younger. Chase Young is 4 years younger than Danielle Hunter.
Yes.
I don't know that the Vikings are going to go through all of this. Oh, my God. We pounded out a deal for Kirk. We're about to give Justin Jefferson more money than any other non-quarterback. I think in this case, Danielle would be the one to go get his payday with Chicago or Jacksonville.
Yeah. And I think at his age, the problem is he's going to get a massive payday that I'm not sure if the Vikings do all of what we've talked about so far, they're going to do. I'm inclined to agree with you. I think that they will probably now be more active in free agency than they probably thought or could be. But I would say you're right. I would say at his age, Danielle probably walks. And quite frankly, at his age, he should 1,000% get the most he can possibly get.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
like,
good with that.
I ain't giving any hometown, right?
Yep. No, I'm good with that. Discount. He's going to get a huge payday. And one of these guys, if not two of these guys, are still not guaranteed to come back with the salary cap going up. And if we're bringing back Kirk and JJ in this scenario, then yes, I think Danielle Hunter is bye bye.
Okay. So now we've got some major holes along, but we've got the 11th overall pick. We've got the 42nd overall pick, and we still have $49 million in cap space.
Yep.
So we will address that.
Yep.
But we're bringing back Kirk. And then we're bringing back JJ, obviously, on the extension. And then we're saying goodbye to Dino. Just a couple other guys to clean up here. Brandon Powell was a good trinket player. You guys want, it's the fourth time I fought for Brandon Powell at like a million.
We're
fine. And a half.
I think we're all fine with that.
Okay. So $47 million in cap space.
He's cheap and he knows exactly what to do.
And then we also have to account for on the just the cap space side, a kicker for $2 million, and then a couple like veteran backup offensive linemen, your Schlotmans and those type of guys, Questenberries. So that gets us down to like $42 million in cap space. Other internal free agents. So Dalton Reisner is the one that we've kind of debated the most of this bin. Reisner, KJ Osborne, Cam Akers, Josh Dobbs, DJ Wonnum, and he's coming off an injury. Jordan Hicks, Marcus Davenport. He's got that void date coming up.
No.
I think we have enough cap space to say goodbye to Dalton Reisner and go after, like, I would love to go after a Kevin Dotson or someone that can just be a dude and fix your guard problem for the next 3 years. So that's where I'm at. Where are you guys at with these guys? Reisner, Akers, Dobbs, Wanham, Hicks, Davenport.
Well, on Wanham, I guess, is he comes back because he's coming off a fairly significant injury for pretty cheap. So I think that, you know, relative to the market, I think that he comes back. Here's my first question. With the cap going up, do you now have the more want to bring back KJ Osborne? Because Jefferson's, you know, re-signed now in our world.
I do not. If you have JJ and Addison, and like let's say Brandon Powell for this example, I'm good with that core, or even drafting someone on day three that could potentially be at the worst or at best wide receiver three. So I think you say goodbye to KJ here, and he goes and signs, you know, like a 2-year, $20 million deal with the Tennessee Titans. Like I'm good on bringing back KJ.
I think so. PFF has the projected contract at just 2 years, $10 million. Yeah. So $5 million a year. So it's reasonable. But what's interesting is they actually had him as a below replacement level receiver last year. They have football wins above replacement. He was the 111th ranked receiver out of 128 last year. And the highest he's been, and this is just PFF's opinion, there's probably more layers to this, but the highest he's been ranked in the last 3 years is 71st among all wide receivers. So, yeah, I don't know. Can you get that level of production for league minimum instead of paying $5 million for it? I'm kind of with Dex on this.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Thank you, KJ. Some nice catches.
My second question is this one, too. Let's quickly here prioritize positions as far as spends go. So like Phil, you brought up guard and not going out and getting a cheap guard, but actually what we've talked about on our shows, our various incarnation of shows for years, which is a guard that can kick some ass. So we've talked about guard. We've talked about defensive tackles and guys that can really get a push. I mean, not cheap again. With Daniil gone, a pass rush specialist, and corners. So I guess my question on do we want to prioritize guard near the top of that list? In which case, I think you definitely let Dalton Reisner walk.
Well, let's prioritize because this is, and just for bookkeeping, let's bring Wanham back for like $3 million. It would be probably like $3 to $4 million for him coming off an injury.
I'm guessing you're right.
Maybe five. I don't know, but. So we'll bring him back. So that brings us just below $40 million in cap space.
Okay.
So edge rusher is the most important priority here going into free agency and draft. And again, we've got the $40 million in cap, and we've got the 11th overall pick and the 42nd pick. So how do we want to kind of allocate? Well, we're not going to draft a guard with the first two picks. So they either need to bring a veteran in, like a Reisner back, or like I said, I think we should prioritize just fixing it. Kevin Dotson is one of the top five guards in the NFL. He was great as a pass protector, and he helped revamp the Rams run game. So I think we should allocate something there. Now it's up to him too. If he wants to go back to the Rams, we can't. That's the wild card in all this that we don't know. We can sit here as fans and media and be like, all right, we've got $40 million in cap space. Go get this guy, this guy, this guy. Well, if that guy wants to live in Los Angeles and keep playing for Sean McVay.
Well, and now you've got teams that will be saying the same thing that you just said about the Vikings, too. Oh, my God, look how much more cap space. So if I need a guard and I am an NFC East team, right, I can swoop in and be like, hold on, dude. Vikings will write that check. Here's my – so, like, that's how this whole game has changed now. It's not just like one team was told, you have all this cap space, and everyone else is still screwed.
Yep. By the way, the Rams do have more on the Dotson front. He's their starting right guard. He's a free agent, but the Rams do have more cap space than the Vikings just going into the offseason.
And Washington could sign the entire world at this point.
Yep. So I would say edge, interior, pass rush of some kind is another priority because the Vikings were the worst in the NFL at interior pass rush.
A lot of help needed there.
Guard for sure.
Yep. Corner.
Yeah, cornerback depth or like a starter that can push the depth back.
Now, I do
maybe,
think
maybe running back.
Now, I do think they are going to sign a linebacker as well, but I would hope that would not cost them a fortune.
We'll put that on the list, though, for sure.
But I will also say this, as we're prioritizing for free agency and then the draft, in the world that we're doing right now, I am thinking edge in the first round perhaps as well, which would obviously take care of that.
Yep, because there's three dudes sitting right in that range. If you bring Kirk back, I think it would be malpractice to bring Kirk back, clog up your books, because at that price, he's not a bridge quarterback anymore. People keep talking about a bridge quarterback. Dude, you can get Ryan Tannehill for like a fifth or a tenth of the price.
Yes.
If you're going to sink $60 million guaranteed or $100 million, he's not a bridge. You're building around him still. You'd be foolish to use one of your top two draft picks, I think, on a quarterback.
I think there's become a misperception that bridge quarterback equals term.
No, like, it's price too. It's ability to build your team.
But two and 3 year contracts have become much more of the norm now. So just because you see a 3 year contract, like I think people think, oh, that's a bridge.
Yeah.
He's here for probably 2 more years and then he's gone. But I'm with you totally. If you pay a guy as much as we're talking about, that ain't a bridge.
Yeah. And it would just be like such a waste of resources to pay him that much money, clog up your books for 2 or 3 more years, and then draft a quarterback with the 11th pick or trade up. And now it's like, well, okay, now you're stunting your ability to build around that young quarterback and take advantage of the rookie scale contract. So, you know, well, what if Jaden Daniels falls? Sorry, trade out.
Well, they'll say the Packers. But the Packers draft, the Packers, first of all, I think are the only team that does that. And in my opinion, if you sign Kirk to a hefty contract for 2 years, you are trying to win right now. So you're telling me that you are going to pass on a person? Now, just to be very clear, this is not how I would do this at all. But if this is what we're talking about, if this is how we're going about it, you're telling me that you're going to take J.J. McCarthy, sit him for probably 2 years, which, by the way, I don't know the Packers have done this right now. Like Jordan Love, his contract got eaten up. Like the whole, one of the reasons.
You have to pay him now.
Yeah. And one of the reasons to draft him was to have that contract. They made him cook for so long that Jordan Love, they didn't even exercise the 5th year option.
It's crazy, dude.
Like, is that how you would do your business? Personally, it's not how I would do my business.
I agree with you. People keep pointing at the Packers as the shining example of why you should have a really expensive quarterback that is mentoring this other young guy, right? Two things on that. When the Packers were going to NFC championship games like 2-3 years ago, Aaron Rodgers was the starter. And they get beat by the Niners here. Or they get beat, whatever. They got beat by the Bucks 1 year, didn't they? And didn't they always feel like they were kind of one player away? Boy, that first round pick, you could have maybe made a move for a Justin Jefferson in the first round. Instead, you got Jordan Love holding the clipboard over here.
Yep.
And then Jordan Love comes out finally and like, look at this. In his 4th year, he finally, look at the value of sitting for 3 years. People pretend like he wouldn't have been a competent quarterback 2 years ago. Well, he might have done this 2 years ago if you would have given him a chance to actually play. And then you could have had rookie scale. So you're right. I don't know that I would be so quick to use that as the blueprint for what team should do. Okay. So external free agents. I'm going to take 2 guys off the table that we've already talked about in previous iterations of this because they are projected to be franchised. Mm-hmm. Antoine Winfield Jr. probably going to be franchised. Mm-hmm. Christian Wilkins now projected to be franchised on PFF 2. Interior, pass rush, Miami, like space eater guy. We're going to take him off the board because he's almost certainly going to be franchised. I'm going to float this one, a name that we have not talked about because he was not available until this weekend. Let's start at cornerback. Xavien Howard just got released by the Miami Dolphins. His 2 best years in the NFL came under Brian Flores 3 and 4 years ago. He turns 31 years old this summer. He is not the same player that he was, but if he gets like a Patrick Peterson type contract, you know, $6, $7 million a year on a 2-year pretty flexible deal.
Right.
And he plugs in as a starting outside corner and you then bump maybe a Caleb Evans back a notch. Reuniting Xavien Howard at a really reasonable price with Brian Flores. Does that do anything for you guys?
At a reasonable price, yes. Yes.
He ain't going to make $15 million.
Right.
Would be shocked.
Yeah, I'd be in on that. I mean, they needed an extra cornerback help. He's not going to break the bank. He had success with Flores. I mean, the age and the decline here, because just like a lot of other cornerbacks, they just kind of start falling off a cliff. So are we off the cliff with Xavier Howard, or is there still something there where he can play meaningful snaps and be at least somewhat of a serviceable corner for him? And if that is the case, and you can get him for cheap, so I would be in on that idea of bringing him in.
So if I gave you guys an either or at cornerback, you could either go Xavier Howard with full familiarity and previous success in this system at like $6 or $7 million a year. Again, if we're going off the Patrick, let's call it $7 million a year, maybe eight because of inflation. Or Judd, you brought this name up a couple weeks ago. Kendall Fuller is one of the top 15 PFF free agents. He was with Washington last year, projected to sign a 3-year $40 million deal in free agency. So $13 million a year, but he is a top 10 cornerback in the NFL right now, PFF. Would you want to go top shelf? Yes. Or do you want to go sort of middle to bottom shelf?
I'd rather go top shelf.
Okay, but we also need, we don't have an edge rusher right now. Interior pass rush is non-existent.
Yeah, the two positions that I think I would put priority on in free agency are defensive tackle, a three tech, nose tackle, some big men, and
football
cornerback. So I'm actually thinking at the rate that we're constructing this roster right now, I'm thinking first round edge guy. So I'm not necessarily targeting one.
Okay.
I think you could
maybe go get one in free agency and one in the draft. I don't think you can just have one edge rusher and feel good. And like last year, they only had one. And they had to have the highest blitz rate in the NFL just to get like league average.
Well, but
pressure.
I'm helping my line though. Like I'm helping my rush by shoring up the interior as well. But yes, if I can get an edge, what I'm saying is if I'm prioritizing spends in free agency, I'm prioritizing my spends on cornerback, defensive tackle, and then again, potentially guard. I like your guard. I think the guard idea is really, really sound. I personally don't think the odds are high of them doing that, but I love the idea.
Okay. Now, you could also go cornerback with the 11th pick mm-hmm. and go spend money on defensive trenches and free agency. You could do it the other way, too. But we'll do – okay, let's do it this way. So we'll go Kendall Fuller, 3 years, $13 million a year, and we would do a signing bonus that would bump the cap down for this year. So let's call it, I don't know, $9 million in cap.
I love this team. This is a great team. Short-sighted, but what the hell? We're going for it.
Well, they all get signing bonuses.
No. I'm saying our entire roster construction here, though. Like, we're bringing back Kirk. We're just bringing back. We're going to take another. The Wilfs
Kendall Fuller,
love
by the way,
right.
29-year-old free agent cornerback.
The Wilfs love this right now. The Wilfs are, like, so happy.
He's 29. Does that not give you any pause?
It gives me some pause, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to fight you a little bit more on this.
Okay.
And Declan, you can break the tie. Wouldn't you rather, looking at some of the other free agents on the market on the defensive side, I'm going to give you their ages, okay? Well, DJ Reader is one that could really help your interior. He's also 29. But I think 29-year-old defensive tackles age a little bit more gracefully than 29-year-old cornerbacks where speed is gone overnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your guy, Grover Stewart, 30 years old, interior defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Edge rusher Bryce Huff from the Jets, 26 years old. Jonathan Greenard, 27 years old from the Texans, 14 sacks, 50 pressures last year. Chase Young is 25. We're talking probably a one-year deal, yeah, PFF, one-year
Chase
deal.
Chase Young scares me a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah. Andrew Van Ginkle, 28 years old. You could probably get him either way, by the way.
I was going to say, I think I can get him.
Yeah. But I'm a little nervous about the 29-year-old.
I don't disagree with you on that. My issue with Howard is that it's been a long time since he was truly productive. And I will always be impacted by Xavier Rhodes syndrome. You know, because, I mean, nothing changed for him. Like, the coaching staff didn't change. He became this Pro Bowl great player.
I think Rhodes was 29, though. Kendall Fuller is like 29 years old.
Well, then should we consider? Should we consider drafting one instead?
No,
I'm getting a little bit concerned here because I don't just look. I guess if you can fill other position, like if we can go get an edge, then who we really like more, then I guess I would draft a corner first round.
Dude, Justin Madubuike is 26 years old. He's one of the top three interior defensive pressure guys. Like $23 million a year, but you could go get him.
Yep. And, I'm open to talking about that.
I'd rather do that for $23 million than a 29-and-a-half-year-old cornerback.
Then let's target a cornerback in the draft.
Okay.
And let's do that. I do love first contract guys. I love guys coming out of the first contracts.
And again, he might want to stay in Baltimore. We don't know. But this is where we're just kind of...
Not when we bring him here. Take him to Murray's. Show him the facilities. Get him all happy on some football. Quality wine.
All happy on that. So here's the contract. 4 years, $92 million, $60 million guaranteed, $23 million a year. You probably do like a... Let's call it like a $15 million cap hit in the first year and then push it all into the future. So that brings us down to $24 million. So we just brought in Madubuike. Okay. Let's talk about my guy, left or right guard, depending on. He was a left guard for 3 years in Pittsburgh. He was a right guard last year with the Rams, Kevin Dotson. So Kevin Dotson, the Vikings have had like 20 different starting guards in the last 9 years. It's just ridiculous. So Kevin Dotson is 28 years old. He's projected to sign for $17 million a year on a 4 year deal, $41 million guaranteed. So basically two years guaranteed.
All right.
He's expensive, but you'd now have one of the best left tackles in the NFL, one of the best right tackles in the NFL, and one of the best guards in the NFL.
What are our choices at edge at this point too?
So draft is a choice.
Yep.
11th overall pick is a choice. You could also sign 26-year-old Bryce Huff from the Jets, pass rush specialist. Really not a guy that is going to move the needle in the run game, but he was a top 10 pass rush grade, according to PFF. 60 pressures last year. Jonathan Greenard is another really interesting one. 27 years old, former third-round pick out of Florida in 2020. He was with the Texans last year. 14 sacks, 50 pressures. Mm-hmm. Eighth best run stopping grade among edge rushers. These guys are both going to be like $13 or $15 million a year, by the way.
Okay.
And then, but you could also go like Andrew Van Ginkle with Miami. That's more like $7 million a year, according to PFF. He's not going to be Danielle Hunter replacement, but he's a guy that can come in and he's going to get you some production.
So what's our ability to split hairs here and pay both Dotson at guard and, you know, what would be considered at least, let's say, a top end, not a superstar rusher.
With the Madubuike contract, if we did Dotson as well, I think we'd have room because we got to save room for the 11th overall pick to fit in here, too. So I think we have room for like Dotson and a Van Ginkle level or like a linebacker, someone that's going to be less than $10 million a year.
Yeah, that's true. And I do think that they're definitely going to sign an interior linebacker as well.
There's also a running back. I mean, Dex has been fighting for running back the last couple times we did this exercise.
Right. And I'm still stuck on, like, we do have to add a corner.
That's where Xavien Howard comes in.
Yeah, but you're talking about a guy who's gone off the cliff. I'm very, 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 like, I understand the Kendall Fuller angst, but Xavien Howard, it's nice he's cheap. But is he also going to come here and be a shell of the guy he was, which he appears to have definitely gone in that direction?
Well, maybe I would say this real quick. If you're going to do this contract with Kirk, you can't be uncertain. He was already immobile, and now he's coming off an Achilles, and he's 36. You can't just be like, oh, we'll try these two guards again and see if Ed Ingram can take a step. You have to bring in a top interior offensive lineman. If you're going to bring Kirk back post Achilles, it shouldn't even be a question. Well,
this entire exercise is why the path we're going down is fraught with peril.
Agreed. It's a wild.
We're literally going down a path that could be incredibly destructive.
So maybe though you bring in a guy like Howard and look. Byron Murphy Jr., Mekhi Blackmon, a Caleb Evans. I'll even throw in Andrew Booth. You bring in Xavien Howard, and if he shows that he's as good as he once was, then he's great. And if not, you have a nucleus here that can maybe take a step forward that had a strong training camp. So signing Xavier Howard, I know what you're getting at, Judd, but like, no one's asking Xavier Howard to be 3 years ago Xavier Howard. You're asking Xavier Howard probably just to be a complimentary cornerback at best. That's the best case scenario. He's not going to be a shutdown guy, and you're not going to find a shutdown guy unless you really want to pay Kendall Fuller. And that's even more of a dangerous proposition. So I like their in-house options. You just need a little bit more of a spice than Xavier Howard.
And you could trade back from 11, mm-hmm. get another day two picks. Now you have three day two picks, and now you can grab a cornerback. So maybe you maybe you go cornerback, trade back, cornerback, and then go Chop Robinson, second round, edge rusher. So, I mean, dude, Patrick Peterson was the same age, and he had a resurgence. He came in here, and he was very good for a couple years.
Okay, yeah.
I know Judd hates this, but I think he's being overruled right now.
Declan is trying to say that you have good in-house options, and I think you have...
Mekhi Blackmon.
Murphy's okay. Mekhi Blackmon. A Caleb you have no idea about, and Booth looks like a bust. That's your problem. You have no depth, and you don't really have quality options. But I'm willing to go down this path for the purpose of proving how bad your team could possibly get.
Okay. I love it. Judd is now turned on his own Purple Daily front office right now.
This is so destructive. It's so counterproductive.
Okay, so I'm voting Kevin Dotson. You're gonna make a huge pitch to him, and you're just gonna fix your offensive line. And so it's $17 million a year. You'd probably do, again, a big signing bonus and bring that cap hit down to like $12 million for the first year or something like that. And so that brings us down to about $7 million in cap space. And we need most of that, I think, to sign a first round pick.
Yep.
Right. So, and of course, there's always going to be guys out there. Like, there's linebackers that you could find. Blake Cashman, for instance, had a nice season. He's going to be a free agent. You could get him for a few million. So there's guys like that you could go and find. But now, so our big free agent additions, we're bringing in Matt Abike. Mm-hmm. That fixes your interior pass rush. Dotson fixes your interior blocking situation. And then Xavier Howard, cross your fingers.
Yep.
Plus maybe some other dude. And I think going into the draft, that means edge, cornerback are the two top priorities for us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And, okay. and quarterback is now just probably a flyer again.
I don't even, it's not even on my list.
Well, legitimately
not even on my list. Malpractice of resources. If you do this, and then draft a quarterback.
You got to look, see at Jaren Hall. You didn't like it that much. You could probably take one in the sixth round again, but now it's basically been buried off the list of primary needs.
Yeah. So the last phase here, which we'll get to, is the mock draft simulation after Judd tells the audience how they can go from looking like a defensive tackle to a cornerback. You know,
it's this simple. Just call my friends or contact them at Livia Weight Control Centers, who help sports dad take off 40 pounds, and they will help you lose weight as well. This program works. I can tell you that from firsthand experience. Many people who watch this show, listen to this show, can tell you the exact same thing because they have joined. They have lost weight right now, going on March 1st here, a perfect time of year to decide that it is time for a new you. Look great by spring, look fantastic by summer, fit into all of those clothes that don't fit. And if you join now, you're going to get the first 3 months for free. That's right, 3 months for free. What a deal. You're losing weight, you're feeling great, and the first 3 months are free. 855-GO-LIVIA. Livia.com, LIVEA.com. Check them out and tell them the guys at Purple Daily told you that you can look great by the summer by just contacting Livia.
Also, a shout out to our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated is here to help elevate your business through risk management. It's like having a great offensive line. It's like shoring up your offensive line, looking out on the horizon, protecting you, the business owner. And they have over 100 years of experience. In fact, 120 years to be precise. They opened their doors, Owatonna, Minnesota, 1904. And so they have generations of experience in helping to navigate the waters of running a business. You've got so many things to be focused on. Let Federated focus on this area, protecting you. Federatedinsurance.com, where it's our business to protect yours. Okay, let's do this.
I want a mock.
Mock!
We will do just a, we'll do a five rounder here. We'll save the seven rounders for the Thors and the Tyler Fornices. And we'll fire this up, boys. With,
all right.
And again, edge and cornerback are probably our two top priorities at this point. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can trade back and accumulate something extra. The Bears are on the clock. Let's see what happens. Is there any reason to trade up at this point? Or should we just let the draft almost fall to us?
Yeah. I would think in this scenario, the only thing you might do is trade back.
Caleb Williams, number one. Drake May, number two. Marvin Harrison Jr., three. Malik Nabers, four. See, this is this could happen easily. Jaden Daniels is already falling. But we just signed Kirk to $80 million, $60 million guaranteed.
Yep.
Malik Nabers, four to the Cardinals. Cooper DeJean, cornerback, Iowa to the Chargers. Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia to the Giants. Titans on the clock now. Joe Alt, Minnesota's own.
All right.
Nate Wiggins, cornerback to the Falcons. Talese Fuaga to the Bears. He's a tackle. And looky here. The Vikings are on the clock after Rome Odunze goes to the Jets. And Jaden Daniels is still on the board. See, wouldn't you be kicking yourself, Vikings?
No, because now the fans would be like, you got to take him. You got to take Jaden.
Well, let's have that conversation.
And
right?
The Vikings
this could happen.
What are you talking about? We just signed Kirk to another 2-year contract. And Kevin O'Connell would say, no, let's take the quarterback. And Kwesi would say, hold on a second here. Dude, we've got a year left on our contracts. After this season, we need to take a position of need.
But this is where, like, if at the draft party, at the Fillmore, right? More information coming soon. The Fillmore, Thursday, April 25th.
Love it.
People are going to be dying for the Vikings to take Jaden Daniels, but it would be malpractice to give Kirk $100 million or whatever, $80 million, and then waste a rookie-scale contract sitting behind him like this.
And this is why Kirk has probably, in the real world, done you a favor by exploring free agency and signing a huge contract elsewhere. But if he hasn't, I think you got to trade back here.
Dex?
Trade back.
So here's the four teams that have called us as we're on the clock. The Saints, three picks back at 14.
Okay.
The Dolphins, 10 picks back at 21.
Three picks
and
back.
And then the Buccaneers. You want to go three back to the Saints?
I think you go just three picks back, accumulate an extra day two pick. I know it would be probably still a late day two pick, but I'd rather do that than go back 10 extra spots.
Whoa. Hold on a second. If I can't get 45, are you serious?
Yeah, I agree. We can't get 45.
Okay, that's
they don't have another thing between that now.
What would the Dolphins be offering? Going back 10 is a lot, but could we get 53? We can get 53.
Keep going.
And the 155.
Okay.
And the 186.
I'm taking the whole draft.
Let's take the whole thing. Yeah, that's the play.
Yeah, that's about me.
So we went back 10 and just picked up three additional picks. This is what you would do, though, right? All right, let's try and hit on a bunch of dudes and build up the roster.
From like 14 to 21 in the Jets trade, and they got Darisaw?
Yep.
Yeah. So here's how it's playing out now. The Dolphins take Olufoshanu. Jaden Daniels, by the way, goes to the Saints at 14. Byron Murphy the second. I'm just spitting off some names here. Couple cornerbacks. Latu to the Jags. We might get an edge rusher run here. There's the Oregon center to the Bengals. Big cornerback run. Kool-Aid McKinstry off.
Love that name, by the way. Kool-Aid McKinstry is one of the great names in football. Okay.
So we're back on the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the top available players. Jared Verse, edge rusher, Florida State. Jerzon Newton. Interior defense? Nope. With Harrison Phillips and with Justin Madubuike, we're probably not going interior.
I think it's Verse without question now.
So Jared Verse.
I think it's an edge, for sure.
Come on down. So there it is. Jared Verse to the Minnesota Vikings.
But now we got all these picks from the Dolphins, too, which is...
Correct. We'll speed this up, because our next pick is the 42nd pick. I'm curious to see where, like, J.J. McCarthy goes, and if he's still on the clock when it gets to the Vikings. I think he is. Oh, look at this.
Well,
the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock at 42.
Who's the top cornerback
And Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy are on the board. Top cornerback?
Yeah, who's the top cornerback available right now?
Dude, Chop Robinson there. You could get two edge rushers.
Yeah. Well, our guys love Chop.
Dude.
I will say that. I mean,
let's see. We also Tyler have the 53.
Thort don't agree on a ton, but they both love that guy.
So cornerbacks are kind of thinning out here. Mm. Mike Sanstrill.
I don't want to reach.
Kyrie Jackson.
Unless you really like one here. Of them.
I don't disagree with you.
I know people are screaming McCarthy's 20 years old. Now it's a 4-year contract. I don't want to draft a quarterback if I'm committing $60 million guaranteed and $80 million to Kirk Cousins. Am I nuts?
No, I don't think you're nuts.
Okay, so
I would trade back again here.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to ask you. Well, I think
no one
you
offering
trade
us a trade, but
really, with JJ McCarthy on the board, no one's offering us a trade.
Be a little unrealistic.
I feel like PFF's fastball is dissipating.
I know. Just for fun, could we move back? There's like the Falcons. The Falcons didn't draft a quarterback, right? The Falcons took somebody else.
Yeah.
What if we just like traded back with the Falcons? Would they give us anything? Just
where are
swap
they?
These picks here.
43.
Give us the 79. No, they're not going to. Nah, these teams don't care about this.
All right. Well. We either take, so at this point in time, O'Connell's pounding the table because he hates our plan for McCarthy. But if we don't take him, I think we take Chop.
So we would go.
Unless you see a corner you like, but it looked like all those corners were reaches.
We would go edge. We said goodbye to Daniil. We would go edge with the first. I love this.
Unless you love a backup defensive tackle or, you know, a defensive tackle that could step in. Yeah, I think you're.
Jared Verse and Chop Robinson. Welcome to the Vikings' ridiculous defense. Okay, right. 53rd overall pick here. Did that? So Bo Nix went. J.J. McCarthy went right after at 44.
Yep.
All right, let's check cornerbacks here, Judley. Let's see what we got. It's Kyrie Jackson from Oregon. I think we got a pounce, right?
Okay.
He's 6'3", 195 pounds.
Tall guy.
He's lanky.
80 PFF grade. We can ask Thor about him later this week. Maybe Dex can ask Tyler for us.
Yep.
So we'll go Kyrie Jackson right there. There it is. And we'll go Turbo here. We'll just kind of fill out because we don't know what we're doing once we get past. Well, we really don't know what we're doing, period, at this point. But we've got two edges. We've got a second-round cornerback to go along with Justin Madubuike in free agency, to go along with Kevin Dotson in free agency, fixing offensive line. It's pretty good. We're back on the clock with the 109th pick here, and this Marshawn Lloyd is the best player on the board. He's a halfback from USC.
Thor likes him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thor's spoken highly of his ability, so yes, let's take him.
Okay, back on the clock at 130. I think we're just kind of filling out now, so we'll go.
Tight end.
Let's see here. Tight end. Ben Sinan. I don't know. I'm just going to click around so we can get to the wrapping phase here. Oh, Kalen Carter. He's another cornerback for you, Judd, right there.
Yeah, I don't really fifth round corners, you know. It's great. It's fantastic.
Drake Nugent. We'll get a center in here from Michigan.
We're all going to get fired here.
I think we've taken Drake Nugent more than any other player on day three of these Sims. I feel like we've taken him like four or five times.
Yeah, we have.
But didn't he get hurt badly last season?
Cedric Gray. There's Cedric Gray.
I don't know.
I thought Tyler told us he got hurt pretty badly at one point because he was a pretty good prospect.
And then Luke McCaffrey. We'll take Luke McCaffrey right there.
All right.
So, all right, there's the end of our mock draft simulation.
Yep.
Let's see what grade they gave us. A+ on Jared Verse, A- on Chop Robinson, B+ on Kyrie. Overall grade, an A. Let's go.
What a great draft. On Monday, people love us. In 2 years, they hate us. Chop Robinson.
This is fascinating.
I wonder if Chop, it just feels like, at least from Thor and Tyler, that there's a ton of steam for Chop. I wonder if Chop's going to creep up the draft board starting this week at the Combine.
Yeah, he might be an athletic testing freak who goes 10 or 15 spots higher than these projections.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, all right, boys, how do you feel? So I know that bringing Kirk back for all that money is not what this show has been advocating for, but listen, if they do that, then our show will try to figure out the best path forward as we speculate.
Right, what are you going to do if they bring back Kirk?
I feel icky.
If they do bring him back, this is a pretty – I feel like we did a pretty good job around him. All right, we're bringing Kirk back. Yeah. JJ, contract extension.
I think the only place where we're not correct is at guard. I think they bring back Risner. I don't think that they do what we think. But, I mean, we've been advocating for guard for how long, Phil? 8 years?
A long time.
It feels like it's a long time. But I think that they actually address defense more. Mm-hmm. So,
and dude, it would be such a baller move if Daniil walks and they wind up with two edge rushers with their first two picks to say, hey, this is the NFL, man. We need to get after quarterbacks. And
I love our fronts right now. Like the front three now, because Harrison Phillips is going to become a better player if they make a move like this. Harrison Phillips didn't impress us as much because he was misused. Mm-hmm. So if he's used correctly now and you've got a couple of guys off the edge, I do love our front. Not going to lie.
Let us know in the comment section on the YouTube channel and hit us up on Twitter. What do you think of this? We made it the rule that we have to bring Kirk back.
How long will we be employed?
But that's the thing. You're going to win games. You're going to win. I don't know what you're winning a Super Bowl, but like you're, especially if your edge rushers pan out.
So what you're telling me is we can get to the playoffs and lose?
Yes, I'm telling you that.
In the first round?
Are you trying to just crap all
these? Yeah, we spent an hour doing this, and now you're gonna drop that one on us?
No, hold on a second. I have made it clear since halfway through this show I did not feel good about our direction.
What about cornerback? But we need an edge. You know, I don't know. What do we want to do here?
I've been trying to wrap the show for 3 minutes, and Judge just trying to tell us how much he hates what we just did for the last hour.
I hate it. It's why it doesn't work for me.
All right, we'll hit you with a couple more episodes of Purple Daily today. It's a busy Monday here across Score North. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. And if you're listening to Judd, they will not be doing it at all.